We've got riots going on in the UK. All of our beloved brothers and sisters in the UK are under a very, very sensitive time. There was misinformation that there was an attack on some young people, some children that was carried out by a Muslim. And of course, it turned out to not be a Muslim. In fact, it was all fake news. But this started a perception that this was another sort of classic sort of case of so-called immigrant violence or immigrant criminality. It sparked riots across the country. We've seen the WhatsApp messages and the Telegram messages of people saying that they're going to click up and group up here. There's been burnings. There's been attacks. There's been attacks on mosques. There's been attacks on Muslim graves. Okay. So this is a very, very sensitive situation. It's a very dangerous situation. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to protect our brothers and sisters in the UK. Now, a lot of people, there's been a little bit of a debate about the far right and sort of how do Muslims relate to the far right, especially those people who are very online. Like, you notice that some people on the far right are anti-Zionist or at least against Israel, some of them for good reasons, some of them for bad reasons or problematic reasons. How do we deal with those sorts of things? And I really appreciated the intervention today of both Paul Williams has a video on this, but also the intervention of Muhammad Jalal from The Thinking Muslim. Shout out to my friends and colleagues. When it comes to the constitution of the far right and the specific character of these riots that are going on in the UK, somebody or a few people in the chat here called them pogroms. And I think that is accurate, that these are not your average everyday sort of anti-immigration sort of rallies. This is very, very bold racism, very anti-Muslim sentiment. It's not even just about the sensitivities of the far right who are concerned with the great replacement or being replaced, which honestly, you can have a tiny bit of sympathy for those people in the sense that it is true that local culture is under assault everywhere. But what they get wrong is that it's not under attack or assault from Muslims or immigrants. It's actually under attack and assault from neoliberalism and neoconservatism. These forces that bring in McDonald's and bring in Dunkin' Donuts and bring in Starbucks and bring in these sorts of different global brands and replace the local stores and replace the local ways of doing things, right? That's the thing that's actually threatening you to replace your culture and stop. Or the neoliberal sort of economics that squeeze more and more money out of you so that you can't afford to sustain your marriage or to have children or to have large families or these sorts of things, right? That enact, you know, all of the sort of social engineering that neoliberal regimes have engaged in order to stop people from living, you know, comfortable lives and eroding the middle class and making sort of working class life impossible. That's really your enemy, not the immigrant, not the Muslim. And so I don't buy into the discourse that, oh, you know, Muslims, they should just, you know, they should be necessarily more English, or they brought it upon themselves by not being English enough or not integrating enough. I don't necessarily buy that. And two, that it doesn't account for the Zionists who are deliberately manipulating the situation and fanning the flames, Tommy Robinson being one of them. Okay, we're talking about here an Israeli asset and the other Israeli assets that are out there that are fanning the flames to this mischief, coordinating it. I thought it was funny that we saw that Tommy Robinson, I guess his accountant is Muslim, though she quit on him. So we see that even they play a double game. So I don't think that, yes, I think, let's see, like Ashik says, Tommy Robinson is running pogrom in the cloak of original British weaponizing emotions and nationalism. Yes, I think that's a very good summary of what's going on. So I don't necessarily think that this is a problem of the Muslims not engaging with the right. I think that the particular character of these riots and the people who have been fanning the flames, such as the Nigel Farages and the Tommy Robinsons, other people, they are not the pro-Palestinian right at all. And that was Muhammad Jalal's main point, that these are people that are very deeply anti-Muslim, very deeply anti-Islamic, very deeply racist. You need a two-pronged approach. Approach number one, and this is a long-term sort of a strategy, is to build relationships and do things, you know, the sort of biryani diplomacy, which is a dawah tactic. It's not a political tactic. Biryani diplomacy does not work in politics, but it does work in dawah, right? To give people sambusas and things like that. That can work in dawah, but it's not enough. We have to realize that there are always people that are trying to dehumanize Muslims and fan the flames, and that these people are very dangerous, and that at the end of the day, you need to have a certain deterrent capacity, the ability to defend yourself individually and as a community. That does not mean hooliganism. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, if it weren't for Allah checking people, some by means of others, then what would happen? All houses of worship would be destroyed. Monasteries, churches, synagogues, and mosques, places where Allah's name is mentioned. So yes, a certain amount of deterrent capacity is praiseworthy in our deen, and it is important. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also says, just coming off the top of my head, وَأَعِدُّ لَهُمْ مَا اسْتَطَعْتُمْ مِنْ قُوَّةٍ, that you should prepare for them what you can of power. Why? Is it because we look for trouble? No, Muslims don't look for trouble, but we also don't want people to mess with us. And sometimes establishing something of a reputation stops people from messing with it. Okay, Sada says, a lot of Muslim leaders in the UK were urging the youth to not follow along with violence, but only to defend. Because it can get carried away. You don't want to do anything. And we've seen the videos, the couple of times where a Muslim youth is, you know, with their face covered and like being like sort of a thug, right? Or being sort of like, you know, a little bit too aggressive, right? Unprincipled, out of control. Then that's just fodder. That's going to just fuel the sort of, you know, the far right is going to say, look, we told you so. This is what they're out for. This is what they do. No asks, what is the Islamic ruling on illegal immigrants and refugees? Well, I mean, I would encourage people. We talked about this in Malaysia at the Umatics conference, and many people, especially the Indonesians, but also the Malaysians, were disappointed with how many people on the ground treated the Rohingya when they came to Malaysia and Indonesia. And definitely this is one of the consequences of nationalism, right? That nationalism stops us from having the attitude that the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam encouraged the Ansar to have towards the Muhajirun, right? When he made Mu'akha Bainahuma, when he actually made them as literal brothers. We're a far cry from that. When the attitude of refugee is, well, you can maybe come here for a couple years, but then you got to find somewhere else to go. That is not very Islamic. Now, it's true that in a population crisis, there needs to be very, very well thought out policies for what to do to deal with a large influx of immigrants or refugees. However, right now, it's exposing our nationalistic sort of constitution and programming.